hands to get up. Put your hands to someone, put someone's hands. Let's say this work together. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome revelation that is found in the written word. This morning, our eyes, because Jesus, I hear alone in this sense. We are edified, and Jesus is glorified in our name. Amen. Glory to God. So Matthew 28 from verse 18. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Okay. Oh, she hasn't given to me heaven and earth. Why? Why? Okay. Have you given to me heaven and in the earth? He said, go ye therefore, and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Now when he says make disciples, go therefore and teach all nations. Now that word to teach there is that you have the word to make disciples. Are you feeling okay? Eh? For there to make disciples, to teach means to make disciples. Now when you use the word to make disciples, is how you train someone in a citadel of learning. The way you train someone, not the way you put a child into a school. Now that's what Jesus said they should do. He said, should make men disciples, put men into the school. Where is the church? Amen. So he said, make disciples of every nation. He now said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus said, we should make disciples. And when you use the word to make disciples, use the word a local church there. So that means a church is where we raise disciples. I want to say this for, especially in a world like us, where there is a whole lot of things going on, the church is not where you have prayer night. Prayer night is done in the club. The church is not where you do talent show. It is done in the club. What do you hear me? Or you do that in any social function. The church is where we raise disciples of Christ. And the Bible now teaches us, how do we raise disciples? It says teaching them. So teaching is how we raise disciples. Amen. So the first thing I want to ask is, what do you call a local church? Now most of us don't know what a church is. How do we say, the church is not in a building? The church is located, the church is the garden of believers, usually in the place. So you say, what is a local church? A local church is a group of believers, right? Who have come together to worship God under a definite leadership. So that's the local church. The church will have a definite leadership. Amen. 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 Glory to God. The church will have a definite leadership. Glory to God. So, the local church is a physical gathering. Is it what? The local church is a what? Physical gathering. Glory to God. Amen. It's a physical gathering that has a definite leadership, a known leadership. You know, say you belong to a local church and you are not known to the leadership of that church. You are not in that church. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, in our use of the primary activity when we are gathered, it says teaching them. So when you go to a church where teaching is not taking importance, it's not a local church. Amen. The local church of Christ, Jesus says teaching them. Amen. So you must learn God's word in the church. The church is where you go to learn God's word. Amen. Someone says, why is it that someone asks the question, why is that in your church everybody carries pen and Bible? I mean carries pen and book. It's Bible. It's not just Bible. Why pen and book? Because they don't understand that the church is where you are taught. So where you are taught, you take notes. Amen. If you go to a place where you are taught, what do? You take down notes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. you take down notes. So taking notes is a sign that you are in church. You take down notes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, I know I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So it tells us what we should teach, and what we should teach is concerning what Christ has commanded. Hallelujah. So where do we teach from? Where do we teach from? Someone said we teach from Ed. No, you teach from the Bible. Hallelujah. You don't teach from the last night's soccer. You don't teach from any other book. You don't teach from any other material. We have a primary material where we teach from, which is the Bible. Jesus himself taught from the scripture. Jesus taught from Genesis down to Malachi. Luke 24. Look at Luke 24 verse 25. Jesus led two of his disciples on their way to Emmaus. And he said to them in verse 25, he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has said. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Look at verse 27, everybody. Luke 24, verse 27. Let's read verse 27 together. Everybody's going to read that together. Okay, are you in verse 27? Okay, let's read 27 together. I want to go. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus read from where? The scriptures. So where are we to teach from? The scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are to teach from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Very vital. Look at Genesis 44. Verse 44 of that Luke 24. Can we read verse 24 together? I want you to go. These are the words which I said to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Did you see that? So Jesus told us from what? Moses, which is Genesis to Deuteronomy, the Psalms, and the prophets, which is Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means you must teach from the scriptures. Hallelujah. So then, if you want to teach from the scriptures, right, how then do we understand the scriptures? And someone said, I can read the Bible by myself. Why do I need to go to church? I'll just read it by myself. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy quickly. 2 Timothy, everybody. Are we to read the Bible by ourselves first? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Remember, we just saw that Jesus taught them, right? Right? Whatever we saw, that Jesus taught them, right? Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Okay? Let's read together. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for what? For what? The next thing, for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you read the word, it's profitable for teaching there. The word, for doctrine there is actually the word explanation. So, scriptures, the word profitable, it tells you the purpose of scriptures is so that it will be explained. Amen. It will be what? Explained. Scriptures should be explained. So how do I get to know scriptures? Is that I am first of all taught. Then I can now read. Now what some people do is that they will take their hand to go and read first. It's usually wrong because people get into errors. You are going to say, touch the scriptures, then you read. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy. There's the chapter before that. Chapter 2. Are you in chapter 2? Look at verse 2. Are you in verse 2? Amen. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Now let's read together. 1, 2, go. And the thing which you have learned from me, amongst many witnesses, he said, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So he's telling Timothy, who is the pastor, that the things we are going to teach, let it be things that you have heard me teach you. Do you see that?
You see that? So that means how you come to know scripture is that we are taught first. Amen. Is that we are taught what? First. How do we come to know scripture? We are taught first, then we now go again and read. Hallelujah. Never forget that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, if this is how scriptures are to be known, therefore, a vital question we must ask ourselves is, what is God's plan for the earth? What is God's plan for the earth? I'm teaching, oh, I don't know what I'm teaching us. I'm teaching us on travailing in prayer. Travailing in prayer. Now, what is God's plan for the earth? What's God's plan? You know, when you know what God's plan is for you, then you know what God's plan is for your life. I don't know why I am created. I don't know what God's plan is for me. No, it's because you don't know what God's plan really is for the earth. Because in God's plan for the earth, you find a God's plan for your life. Amen. God's plan for your life is not first your ambition. Your ambition becomes the root through which also you can also carry out God's plan for your life. But your ambition is not God's plan for your life. I remember growing up, I wanted to be first a pilot. Amen. From a pilot, I had several, you right, if you look at, I thought, no, the first thing I wanted to become was a pilot. Then, when I got to climate tree, I told my mom, I wanted to be a farmer because I joined Young Farmers Club. Amen. I said I wanted to be a farmer. This morning, my little daughter, the last one, came to me that she wanted to be a firefighter. I was laughing. I know that you can't be a firefighter. You said she would be a firefighter. Because me, I have several too. Amen. After a while, I wanted to become a tailor. Some people won't believe this. But I said I wanted to become a tailor. Then I was now sewing everything sewing. I was sewing with needle and thread. Because they taught us sewing in class. And I changed from being a farmer, a guy in Young Farmers Club. I was planting every part. I had different plants at home. It's like gongoni. You know what gongoni? Gongoni is the Greek word for gongoni. You know gongoni? You know gongoni? Eh? You know gongoni? Hey, all those kinds. It's called gongoni. You know? Then, we now put home. Now put soil. Now plant beans. It's only beans I was planting. I never planted anything that is not beans. And it didn't occur to me that it was only beans that you are planting. And I'll keep pouring water diligently. Then I changed. When I thought of sewing in home economy, and I said, no, I went home and told my mom, I want to become a tailor. The woman was just looking at me. You don't know anything. From pilot to farmer to tailor. Okay? We kept on. Amen. Along the line, I was preaching. But I never called being a pastor an ambition. Amen. Nobody taught me, but I just knew it was not an ambition. Amen. It was just what God has sent me to do. I started preaching in my primary school. Amen. So when I got to secondary school, I was still let God be flowing with everything. Amen. When the time for me to now make a choice came, from the school I was down, I was very, very inclined to a computer. So when the time for me to now make a decision came in year 3, everybody wanted me to go to science class because I was good with computer. But I said no. I want to go to commercial class. What do I want to do? I said, I want to be a typist. In year 3. No, I just went there. When I got that, I said, well, I don't say no. I want to become an accountant. Amen. I changed everything. I said, I want to become the next CBN governor. Let me have that dream. No. You can see how people's addiction can change. So when you have the right jam, my jam has to jam you. I'm giving a cup that only God knows. Well, I got to school to read accounting. So it was not that jam changed my course. So I read accounting. I graduated as an accountant. But yes, we got to labor markets. I found out that we can only become a marketer in a bank. So career has changed. Somebody read psychology. No, sociology. And the person is working in a bank. You are laughing. Somebody read political science. And the person is working in a bank.
I've seen an engineer, mechanical engineer, as a banker.
Now you see all those your dream. It's just your dream. It's what you have passion for. But God's plan is different from your ambition.
Amen. Am I still preaching God's word?
I'm still preaching God's word.
Am I a banker?
I am a banker.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You see, God doesn't choose your ambition for you.
What do I mean?
Your ambition is your passion. Don't say, God said I should become a doctor. You know?
Is that God?
Glory to God. Amen. What do I mean? Glory to God. I remember one time like that. Let me not get into some very funny stories. I have had several ambitions. Amen. Today, if you ask me, what do I want to be? Did you say I want to keep being a banker? No. That's what I want to be. If I tell you, you will run. So I still have ambition. I'm still aiming higher. You don't know. Your ambition will change over time. Amen. Just make sure there is enough fuel in your pocket to fuel your ambition. You know what the fuel is? Glory to God. I know someone who read civil engineering, and the person's business is dispatch rider. You are laughing. Civil engineering, so he has known how to use engineering to engineer business. Stay there. They think he I know somebody who went to school. He's a person in a billionaire. The person went to school to read fishery. What were they teaching the person? How to catch fish? Different kinds of fish. He said, okay, hey, I read 4 years. Somebody went to school to study English. And then does not have good. But the up and down of what I'm saying is that your ambition is yours. Amen. Your ambition is what? Yours. And your ambition can change. But God's plan for the earth is where you find God's plan for your life. What do I mean? God's plan for the earth is independent of your ambition. What do I mean? God's plan for the earth is different from your ambition. And in God's plan for the earth, you find God's plan for your life. So let's look at God's plan for the earth. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that, I told you, Genesis 1:1 is God's plan for the earth. Heaven and earth. And I told you that heaven is used for the supernatural, right? Right? Heaven is used for the supernatural. Heaven is used for God's abode, right? Heaven is used for God's abode. God. Heaven in the Bible is used for God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3, he said, when you pray, say, our Father who is in heaven. Did you see that? So heaven is used for God, right? Where God operates from. Now, earth is used for man. The activities of man. So when he said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, I told you, heavens and the earth there, that is not science. That's not science. Moses is writing God's plan. And God's plan is himself and man. Amen. God's plan is God in man. Heaven and earth. God and man in the same place. And Jesus reiterated that in John chapter 14. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Even when I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go, then I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also God and man in the same place. That's God's plan. The Genesis 1:2 now shows you the earth. Remember, I told you the earth is man, right? Right? He also told you the earth without the heaven. He said the earth was. Now, this is the earth today. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So, man without God, man without the heaven, or earth without the heaven, is empty and void. Empty and void means confusion. So man is in confusion when he's not in Christ. Amen. Man can invent anything. See, sometimes people think discovering purpose is being a wealthy man. You are poor if you think that way. Hallelujah. Even the wealthy men are still looking for money. Right? Is it not a Nigerian musician that sang Dangote still they find money? Is that not it? If he's not looking for money, he should close down the refinery. Go and sit in his village. What is he looking for money? So that can't be God's destiny for a man. God's destiny for a man is not your ambition. Are you following me? No! Rather, you see, God's destiny for man is that he is found in man. So he now shows you man without God. He says he's empty and void. Now, for you to understand this very well, he now says, verse 3, let there be light. Remember, I told you, let there be light, verse 3. And God said, let there be light is actually higher air. It means I am light. God calls himself the answer to man's problem. Right? The answer to man's problem, to man's confusion, is God. Hallelujah. The answer to man's confusion is what? Is what? Remember I showed you last week, I said when you find men living anyhow, it's because of that thirst and hunger for God. Did you remember that? Right? When you find men living anyhow, it's because of that thirst and hunger for God. When you find men going to jazz and boogie, it's because of that hunger and thirst for God. Amen. So God shows himself up as the answer to man's problem. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is explaining Genesis chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 into 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Follow me now. Let's be fast. Oh, sorry. I thought of verses 3. Say, if our God to be hidden, it is we to them that are lost. He said, to whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them that believe not. Amen. Now, when we are blinded, it's darkness. We are blinded the mind of God of this world. Darkness. That's Genesis 1, 2. Amen. Darkness. Now, let's see. Let's explain that. In our God's again, it's the human God of God that blinded the heart, the mind of them that believe not, use the light of the glory of gospel of Christ. This is the image of God to shine on them. This is that, so that light, in verse 3, where God said, I am the light. Let there be light. It is the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That means when we preach Christ, we're preaching God's light. When a man receives the gospel, he receives the light of God in the dark heart. Hallelujah. When a man receives the gospel, he receives the light of God in the dark heart. Glory to God. And that heart, which before was dark, becomes light. Glory to God. What does that mean? So Genesis chapter 1. What is God's plan? God's plan is to be in man. The whole earth to be his home. Hallelujah. That is God's plan. Hallelujah. That is God's plan. God's plan is that he wants to dominate the whole earth. The whole earth means every man he sees. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. Numbers 14. Let's go to Numbers, everybody. Numbers 14. You don't know Numbers? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It's on the matrix. Somewhere. First Kings, Second Kings, Chronicles. So, I went to Sunday school. Amen. Amen. So, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 14. Verses 21. Are you there? Okay. Let me join you there. Okay. Are you there? Let's do together. Want to go. But, want to go? No. Some people are not there. Numbers. There's no numbers there? Oh. These. New Testament. Okay. We'll call it Rizal. Amen. Okay. Are you there? Number 13, 21, let's read. Want to go? Is this some people that went to school? That's the people that want to go. Azali, all these acts shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So what is God's plan? All the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. So God wants to dwell in every man. God wants to fill the whole earth. Hallelujah. What does God want to do? Say it to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, tap your neighbor. God wants to fill the whole earth. Tell your neighbor, tap your neighbor. Tap your neighbor again. Neighbor. God wants to fill the whole earth. Say seriously, neighbor. God wants to fill the whole earth. God wants to fill the whole earth. God wants to fill the whole earth. Hallelujah! So what does God want to do? Wants to fill the whole earth. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. So, you know, I told you, God now made man in his image. What did he now do? He now put man in his garden. Don't forget that. So, man in God's garden is man being saved. Amen. Man being, that's how God wants to kill the earth. He wants to save all men and bring all men into his garden. Hallelujah. All men. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there? Okay, let's read from verse 3. Wait for me, let me get there. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. Okay, then let's go. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Therefore, we have all men to be and to come to the Lord of this. Hallelujah! What is God's plan? All men to be saved. Hallelujah! So tell your neighbor that. Tell your neighbor, God wants all men saved. He wants every man saved. Even the bad men. Tell them, even the bad men. Even the prostitutes. Even the drug addicts. Tell them. I tell you, stand up your neighbor. Tell them. God wants all man saved. Maybe you are sitting in your role and you are the person that you need to talk to by your side. God wants all men saved. However, I did not say slap, I said tell them, touch. And then I said, God wants all men saved. This is God's plan for the earth. Amen. If you wake me up at night, say, what is God's plan for the earth? Say, God wants all men saved. Amen. Paul said, is that God's plan? That is God's plan. He wants all men saved. In every question you have, I've been teaching for the past few weeks. I've been teaching about the school of the spirit, and I'm explaining this thing. Amen. Amen. So, why did God just make every man saved? God said, every man to be saved. Imagine you are hypnotized, you don't have a will of your own. Will you enjoy life? God gave you a will. And in his will, he said, send the body in this day, life and death. Keep life and heavenly. So, God gives man choices. That's why life is beautiful. You can make a choice. Hallelujah. I choose Jesus for the rest of my life. Hallelujah! Come on in! God gives us choices! So which choice are you making? Then which choice have you taken? Amen! Amen! So God has given me a choice. You know what Joshua said? He said, after me and my household, so we will serve the Lord! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I can say for myself, after me! I will serve the Lord. After me, and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will die serving the Lord. Amen. Serve the Lord. I'll serve the Lord till I'm aging. I'll serve the Lord till my legs can't hold me. And I'm only set. I'm clean. I'll keep serving the Lord. I will serve the Lord till my last breath on earth. I'll serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I've seen his goodness. I've seen his wonder. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've seen God's goodness in my life. So I'm going to serve him.
There was a time like that. My immediate elder brother was scheduled for an operation. And he said, my mom called us. They said, we're going to pray. Like, no reason we're going to touch his hand. And this very young, very young. I was just in primary five. Just getting that mission. He just gave to one. And my mom told us, we're going to fast. You know, most times we think, you see, God has blessed you with a Christian parent. And you don't know how God has blessed you. That time when you wake up in the morning, you are grumbling. And yes, you pray. You are imbibing in you a godly character. So, my mom said, we're going to fast. We will fast that period. Why are we going to school? There will be no food in my stomach. She will tell us, once it is 12 o'clock, even if you are in the class, just bend down your head and pray for your brother. How are you going to do it? We didn't even understand. We will be hungry. You know, that's the point. Around that point, the day people go out for break in the first secondary school. And then people will be there drinking all this ice cream. And your mouth will be watering. You cannot beg them because you are fasting. Amen. But yes, we're fasting, we pray. And on the day we were scheduled for the operation, before you, they go to the theater. And the doctor said they can do any operation. Why? They said, you don't know how the miraculously he has been healed. They couldn't find that place again. And you tell me I'm not going to serve God, I'll serve God for the rest of my life. Hallelujah! I have seen wonders, I've seen miracles that God alone can do. And you're telling me I'm serving? I'll serve Him for the rest of my life. Hallelujah! I remember one day like that. I got into the hospital. We went to pray for some sick people. And I got into to make sure like that she had. Whatever they said is this level of very strong level of but the person was in the ICU, having suffered from HIV AIDS. She was already using her hands to talk at this. She doesn't even know what she did. Then we held her. And we said, in the name of Jesus, you're going to be well and healed. Hallelujah. And we saw miracles. I've seen God. Hallelujah. God is good. God is alive. So how can you tell me somebody? Do you think anybody can come to convince me that there's no God? I've seen God. I've seen Him. I have seen Him. And I'm telling you, God is good. And this is God's plan for the earth. I've seen God. Remember one time like that? We went, this is not healing. This is not the healing, but I'm tearing your heart. And we went one time like that to the hospital. We saw someone who was having ulcer in the legs. You know, those people that have ulcer in the legs, fat legs, and there are pops coming up, pops! And that was the last person we were to talk to, like you said. Then, that was in 2007. And then, we went to him. I took my hands, and I held his leg. I held that leg. I said, in the name of Jesus, I was touching the pop. But I don't care. I know the power of God is in my hand to heal the leg. So I held the leg, and I said, in the name of Jesus, we pray, God! How did you go? No, we pray. And then the person stood up, and was banging her, we speak like this. Well, we left the pet. Remember, I just saw someone that had pox in his hands. I got home. You know, the normal hygiene is to wash your hands. But me, I didn't know. I just got home. I saw food and my mom cared for me. I carried my hands like that. And I dipped it on the food without washing it. And I was eating and eating. And I was just eating and thanking God. Then that flash came again. He just touched a guy that had pox in his leg. You know that boy, you feel like throwing up all the food in your intestine. But you know what I said? I said no. I said, God, I didn't catch the flu, I killed it. So whatever is in my hands was killed by the power of God. I continued to see. I was only to wash my hands and I didn't fall sick. I'm alive today. Glory to God. There's God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God is alive. Glory to God. Amen. Remember years back, I used to do jelly coy. Some people don't know. I used to do jelly coy. So one day, I was doing jelly coy. And then, I was using relaxer. But women are supposed to use for their hair. I was using it for my hair. I was doing it. I never before this. The relaxer now entered into my mouth. Entered into my mouth. You know, he said, go and take oil. I said, no, I got the line that God is this. He's not going to hurt me. And I went ahead. Glory to God. It was not small that entered my mouth. It entered into my mouth. But then I'm alive! Glory to God! There's God. Tell someone there's God. God is alive. And I'm serving the living God. Alive! So what is God's plan for the earth? all men to be.
Can you see?
All men to be. All men to be.
United until come to the knowledge of Him.
To come to the knowledge of Him is when you have the word discipleship.
So God wants for all men to be saved and to be disciples.
So where can a man be disciples?
In the church.
Make disciples teaching them.
So that's why you come to church.
So after being born again, God wants you to be disciples.
Hope you are
with me. After being born again, God wants you to be what?
Disciples.
So how do we get born again?
You get born again by believing in Him.
John 3:16, we know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him,
whosoever does what?
Shall not perish but have eternal life.
So when a man believes in Jesus, when a man believes in Jesus,
he is born again.
Joshua, John chapter 1, verse 12.
He said he came to his home. His own received him not, but as many as received him,
to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God,
even to them that believe on his name.
Hallelujah.
Who was born not of blood, not the will of the flesh, not the will of man,
God of God.
Hallelujah.
So when I believe in Jesus, I'm born of God.
When I believe in Jesus, I'm a child of God.
Today, do you believe in Jesus?
Do you believe in Jesus?
Say, I believe.
Say, I believe in Jesus.
I believe Jesus is Lord.
I believe Jesus is God.
I believe He came to die for my sins.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Now let's get back to 2 Timothy again, chapter 2.
What is,
now we said God wants us to be born again. God wants us to be saved. Right?
That doesn't end at being saved.
Right?
He now said, you are saved, therefore then you are disciples. Right?
Now what is the end point of discipleship?
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16.
We read together again.
2 Timothy 3, 16.
Are you with me?
Verses 16 to 17.
Once you go, off scriptures.
Are you there?
2 Timothy 3, 16. Are you there?
It's not 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 16.
Are you there?
Let's read together once you go.
All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction in righteousness.
Let me know that.
That way, maybe, thoroughly, for,
thank you. Some people are reading changing, some people are reading reverse standard, some people are reading amplified.
But he said that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works.
So who is the man of God?
The man of God is not the pastor. The man of God is the recipient of God's word.
So as I'm teaching you today,
you are the recipient.
So he said the teaching of God's word is to the end that we are equipped unto good works.
Amen.
Amen.
So, I put it like this,
right?
The end point of salvation, the end point of being saved that we are disciples, the end point of discipleship is that we become effective in God's plan in the earth.
We become workers in God's plan for the earth.
What's God's plan for the earth?
All men saved.
So we are now effectively in God's plan.
In God, so we are now workers together with God.
Now look at something in Ephesians 2.
I want to show you that in Ephesians 2.
Ephesians 2.
Verses 8.
Are you there?
I have tasted of the glory of God.
Ephesians.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, Jonathan of Apostles. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation of John.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Okay, Okay. Are you there? So the Philippians says, it says, by grace ye are saved. Through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. So that means salvation doesn't require your works. Somebody say, I'm working to be born again. No, you're not working. You are saved by grace. You are saved by believing. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Then let's read verse 9 together. Verse 9, where do you go? Not of work, let any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus also good. Can you say that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, also good? That means we are saved to do God's work. What is God's work? All men say. That's what God says, though. He says that we can be effective in this is we. Amen. So what is God's purpose for my life? God's purpose for my life is that I am involved in Him getting men saved. That's God's purpose. Every believer, now if you look up, read what you are writing. Now, every believer, read what you are writing, because you need to hear before you write. Listen, every believer has one singular purpose on earth. What are you hearing me? Every believer, the end point of being a believer is that we are investing in God's purpose for the earth. We are carrying out the same purpose of God in the earth. That is not true. You don't have different purpose. Okay, discovering your own unique purpose of the earth by doing you conk. Oh, what is that? Say, your purpose is to be a footballer. Are you okay? Does it carry God in it? God of football has blessed somebody to be the goat. It's not only goat, it's cow. Nonsense. It's God of football that blessed him. You know, he gave him the talent. When they tell you to come to church by 9, you are coming by 10:30. When you miss more than half of the session, there is no one that you say it is God of football. It's not only God of football. It's God of everything. Rubbish. Amen. Come to church, then it's fine. You hear? They come to church. You come to church. They are listening to God's word. They are sleeping. They are sleeping. When they ask you, what did the Lord say? He said, you turn what I taught you upside down. You don't know. Jesus took his disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration. We're going to see it today, though. And when they were there, that was Sabbath, though. They were sleeping. They were sleeping well. They now woke up. And when Jesus took them there, Moses appeared and Elijah appeared. And they had conversation with Jesus. Now, when they woke up, they saw the last part. They were not in service. They were sleeping in service. When the last part, when they woke up, the first thing they remembered, you build an altar for Moses, you build an altar for you build an altar for Elijah. They are saying, hey, you are saying this. Master Kuso. The talking rubbish. Doesn't know anything. Amen. That's what happened when you sleep in church. Amen. Amen. How many of you have been reading for exam and then you're not slept? You are reading A. And you're asleep, you are still dead, you know? Or you are looking at the book of sleep is dealing with you. You are seeing 2 times 2 is 4. And your head is showing you 44. Oga, clear your eyes, shine your eyes away. The way you're going to write rubbish in the exam hall. Amen? Glory to God. Now, you are listening to what I'm teaching you. How many of you understand what I'm saying this morning? I'm sitting on traveling in prayer. I will not say anything about prayer. Sit well. Amen. Amen. So, God's plan for every man is that they are saved. And the ones who are saved, right? His plan for, because you are saved to the end, that you are involved in God's work of ministry. What is God's work of ministry? God's work of ministry is that you are now getting men saved and getting them disciples. Amen. You are getting them saved and then teaching them. Remember, how many of you can remember the highlight of our teaching last week? I said, man is God's work. Man is, who said that? Huh? Okay, no, he said it. What did he say? God, man is God's Man is God's method. That's what I want to say. Man is God's method. And that was the highlight of our teaching. God will use man. If you forget anything, never forget this in your life. God will always use man. Let me say that. So, if we say man is God's method, right? Right? So, God will use man to get men saved. Or did you get God saved by yourself? Did somebody preach to you? Did somebody not preach to you? Somebody preached to you. Is there somebody here that you heard something for somebody? So, God will always use man. Amen. God will always use man is God's method. So, man is God's method. How will God feed the whole earth? God will feed the whole earth using man. That was why Jesus became a man. Because man is God's method. God wants to save man, he became a man. So that he can die for men and save men. What about me? Amen? So God's method to saving the whole world is what? Man. God's method to saving the whole world is what? Is what? Thank you. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. Okay. Matthew 9. We're getting to the climax of our teaching this morning. Matthew 9, verses 36. Look at Jesus now. He said, when he saw the multitude, and he was moved with compassion on them because they were stranded and scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So Jesus saw people who were not saved. And then he said, the harvest is truly plenteous, and the laborers are few. Did you see that? The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. 38. He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers into the. So, God wants people saved. He wants people to hear the gospel. He said, pray the Lord that he will send laborers into the harvest. Right? Now look at chapter 10, verse 1. What did Jesus do? Look at chapter 10. Read verse 1. Let's read verse 1. Let's go. Where to go? Let's read together like people that have paid us to see where to go. Then Cyprus, he gave them power to have them out. Amen. Can you see that? So what did he do in the next verse? He now sent his disciples out. You look at that. He said, praise the Lord of harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest. Then he sent his disciples. Therefore, what am I saying? I'm trying to let you see that God will use man to reach men. God will use man to reach. Remember, this is God's will. What is God's will? That all men be saved. How will all men be saved? Through men. Let us know that. Hallelujah. Amen. So what is God's plan? To have every man saved. So who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Now let's narrow the man down. Who's going to be the man? Say me. Say God is going to use me. To reach men. To get men saved. Say God is using me. Say it very well. God is using me. Tell your neighbor, God is using me. I am available for God to use. I'm available for God to use. To help saving men. To help saving men. I am available for God to use. Turn to somebody. No. Leave whatever thing you are doing. Drop your writing. Turn to your neighbor. Talk to someone. Say, God is going to use me as he's using you to save men. Say it again. God, talk to your neighbor, say, neighbor, look at me. God is going to use me. No, say to your brother. It's good to tell your brother. So that when you get home, you tell yourself again, God is going to use you. He's going to use you. Amen. Say, God, touch the person. God is going to use me as he's using you to save men. God is going to use me and use you to save men. Ask your neighbor for his name. Ask for the person's name. Okay, no. If you are three, there will be somebody at your back. I want you to be two. Amen. Come on. Yes, that's it. Amen. Say God. It's not a joke, but it's something that you need to shoot inside you. Say God. He's going to use me. As he's using me, I'm going to call the person, as he's going to use to save men. Okay, God is going to use, you're going to put your name, I'm going to use, put the person's name to save men. Now, once you go, God is going to use that. As he's going to use this to save men. Say, I am available for God to use. Say for the last time. No, say it like a God. He's gonna use smart, and he's gonna use the power to save men. God, he's gonna use smart, and he's gonna use the familiar God to save men. Hallelujah. So God is gonna save men through me. God is gonna save men through me. This is God's purpose for my life. Say, this is God's purpose for my life. I know God's purpose for my life. I know God's plan for my life. He's going to use me. He's going to use me. He's going to use me. He's going to use me for the rest of my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God is going to use you. Remember, this is God's will. So God is going to use you to get men saved. It's not going to be by gimmicks. Amen. I see some people who tell people, they tell people, come on, let's do rap competition. People don't do rap competition. You know? Not do rap competition. And that is already looking at me. I didn't remember that you looked at me. Amen. Do rap competition, ask about my origin, I'll tell you who I be. I've been watching lately that the devil can lie. Right? Lando. Yeah. There's somebody that's going to say, yeah. Since Kayshan. And the beat. After the end of the whole rap, the man says, the winner is Bro Emmanuel. And I go, Emmanuel, and I say, I'm the winner. And I say, now you are born again. Eban, you. Are you imposing born again on the person? No! Amen! Some people say, okay, we are bringing food to church. They now gather food. And I say, okay. As they give you food, you are not eating the food. And I say, as they are taking this food, we are eating the bread of life. You are not born again. How? Amen! Food never gets somebody born again. Cough doesn't. Amen! Panda doesn't. Dead food does not. Living will never. Amen. This is not getting born again. What gets a man born again is the gospel priest. It's the gospel priest. Hallelujah. Some people become soaked, and I'm going to attack some people this morning. So it will become so devoted. And you know, good. Now, I think I don't preach. I say, say after me. I said to me, Islam. I believe that come back to me. I see you things this day. The result of my eyes. Amen. I've seen somebody before. He was speaking to the guy. The guy was saying, No, I don't want to. He said, okay, you know what? Just say after me. Ah. Only me. He said, just say after me. I have said to me, sinner. Ah. I believe that God died for me. I choose him to be the Lord of my life. Said, you are born again. But I don't want to be born again now. You see yourself? You have done genius. The person you let to say that is not born again. Being born again is first believing. The person is convinced in his heart. Hallelujah. That Jesus died for him. Died for her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And in the death of Jesus Christ, his sins are remitted. Your sins are not remitted because he said it. Your sins are remitted because he believes first. What do you mean? Say, I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe he died for my sins. Amen. I'm not saying it for you to be born again. I'm saying it because you are born again so that you re-echo it. Amen. Glory to God. Say we have one common belief. Say we have one common belief. I thought that during GDLR. The believers have one common belief that Jesus died for our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he rose again for our justification. So being in God's plan is not gimmick. It's not gimmick. It is not so manchy. No. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you something that I did then. That was in 2005. But immediately I was doing it then. And I saw that this was not being born again, so I deleted the app. 2005. The first cutting out of their chain was not worth it. Was not to go. No. Those people who have been chatting, it's not even BlackBerry. It was called Mr. 3. So what I used to do is that I was preaching online. So before this, we start doing all this online rubbish, I've been doing it. I have preached online. So I will not go into Muslim room. The room, different room. I will go to Muslim room. I will finish them. They will be attacking me. I was that very stubborn. I will look for trouble there. I will not get to Christian room where Muslim people have come to fight to look for trouble. I will not scatter the whole place. And I say I was preaching. Until one day, I was reading my Bible. And I saw Mark chapter 15. He said, go into all the world. And I heard the preacher said, that going to all the world is going into every man's world with your feet. That was the day I did it together. It's called Mr. 3. You can't find it again. I even tried looking for it. It doesn't exist anymore. Amen. But that was before. So I discovered that I had to go. So it's not done online. It's going with your feet. Amen. I was in period, I now have to beg my dad because I was still in secondary school. I begged my dad to get me a Bible. I told him not to buy me a small Bible, not to buy me a big Bible. And I needed a very big Bible. So he bought, now went to buy Amplify. How many of you remember one of my Amplified Bible like that? You remember that Amplified Bible? To buy Amplify. He didn't even sit down. So I now went to use my money to go and buy a red big King James. That Amplify lasted years though. He said, yes! I had to buy a big King James. No. We bought the King James. I was going to buy the Amplified later on. So, one big one like that. He bought it, so he gave it to me. You see the way I carry that Bible? I carry that Bible like eternal life. I will carry the Bible like this on the road. People were writing my head, I was carrying Bible to preach. Sure. I was carrying my Bible. I so cherish that Bible. Amen. Because it looked like the Bible of one of my mentors. So I cherished it like. So let's get into some other things. So it is not done with. For people do it with marketing skills. It's not marketing. No. Amen. I heard someone say you have to brand it. You brand the gospel. So if I say this is not marketing, don't give me 4 P's or 6 P's of marketing. I don't need it. Amen. It is not branding. No. Amen. 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 This is God's plan for the whole earth. And what is God's plan for the whole earth? All men saved. All men coming into his garden. What is his garden? Supernatural. So, what is God's plan for the whole earth? God's plan for the whole earth is bringing men to the supernatural. God's plan is bringing men to the supernatural. And he has recruited you. Recruited. Please put that. You've been recruited. Into God's plan. Amen. Amen. Yes, his plan is to bring men to the supernatural. This God of. Amen. His plan is to bring men into his garden. His plan is to bring men into his glory. His garden is his glory. Remember, we read that in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, God's plan is to bring many sons to glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That is God's plan. And this plan is supernatural. This plan is what? What is this plan? It is what? It is heaven and earth together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, This is God's will. That I have been recruited to do God's will. I have been recruited to do God's will. I'm not like the men of the world. I have been recruited to do God's will. And in doing God's will, which is getting men saved and getting them disciples, a very important activity, if you are involved, right, if you have been born again, a very important activity you should be doing is what? Getting men born again, see, like you. Because it took a man to get you born again. So therefore, you being born again should now get others born again. And for you to do this effectively, right, you must be found in the activity of prayer. You must be found in what activity? In what activity? Prayer. When God uses a man, he causes them to pray. God uses a man that prays. Amen. Amen. God uses a man that prays. You know, we sing this song, "Use me, Lord." You hear the song? "Use me, Lord, to save the whole world. That your church may be strong. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, to save the whole world. That your church, make it strong. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. One more time. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. To save the whole world. That your church, your church, let it one. Let it strong. Be strong. Use me, Lord. One more time. Use me, Lord. Now you're going to mention a location. Use me, Lord. So say, let them say. Now mention a location. Love your God. Let it strong. Use me, Lord. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of your saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for your word. You set my soul on fire, Lord. Set my soul on fire. Use me, Lord. Use you, he sent you to pray. Amen. He sent a man to pray. And when he sent a man to pray, he shares his burden. We're going to explain this from next week. He shares his burden with them in the and causes them to pray. God shares his burden. God has burdens. He shares his burdens. Amen. So when we carry God's burden, it's called tribal. Amen. In the place of prayer. Hallelujah. We carry the best signs of God. For courage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, no man that God uses that doesn't pray. No. A man that prays is a man that trusts God. So God will use men that pray. Hallelujah. You know, I know, and this has been a problem. In Nigeria, yeah, people pray for things. And they pray, you know, I have a friend of mine like that who traveled to Canada. So And I called him. I said, "So how are you?" He said, "Fine." And I said, "So how's the prayer life?" And I said, "Ah." He said, "You know, it's a senior colleague." And I said, "No. When we're in Nigeria, we used to pray for different things because things are not working. But now we don't spend time praying too much. We only just thank God and pray for rapture." Ah. I said, "It's because we are praying for things in Nigeria. You know, Nigeria, we pray for everything. See, we even pray for God to bring light. Nepal, we pray that God, we want people turning to prayer that they should be light. That's how we pray. We pray for things in this country. Have you seen Nigeria play ball? People will be praying. Let's pray for Nigeria to win. So let us pray for Nigeria to win. Let us pray. And the people you are praying for the win will not play. Will not even train. One of the one who will stay, meet Yamaha. Same guy that saying is somebody that has the head, that has head like a God head. That must be a jungle keeper. Don't worry. Even the host of heaven will not be able to stop the goal from entering the goal. Yeah, don't worry. You can't get it to your head. It has come to stay. It has come to stay. Glory to God. Where we are going. All of them that went to military school, that's how they are. Even they could never be ready. So, when they planted their heads, seek not for things first. Prize not for things. Is it good to trust God for things? Is it good to trust God for things? But that's not what prayer is for. Amen. Can I trust God for something? Yeah! But that's not what prayer is for. Hallelujah. Prayer is for God's will. Hallelujah. Prayer is to sing God's will come to pass. Prayer. Hallelujah. Quickly, let's see men. We're going to start this today. We'll continue next week. The men that God used, He causes them to pray. The number one example we have is Jesus. Jesus is God's perfect plan, perfect example for a man who He is. Jesus is that perfect example. And Jesus, who is God, who became a man to die for man, so that men can be saved. Right? Men can be saved. And also, He has called us to do the same thing. Jesus, while He was on earth, though He is God, He was found praying. Imagine God is praying. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? God is praying. What are you doing? You are watching drama box. God is praying. What are you doing? You are watching mind. God is praying. What are you doing? You are watching asthma. God pray. What are you doing? What are you doing? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. God prays. Look at Matthew quickly. Matthew. This is Jesus. He says, "And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when it was evening, He came out." Amen. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. So what did He go to do? He went to the mountain to pray. Amen. Jesus went to the mountain to pray. Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35. 3. It says, "And in the morning, rising up great awhile," that is train prayer. Great awhile, maybe around 1 year. It says, "Before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Did you see that? He went and He did what? And did what? Prayed. So Jesus went to pray. Hallelujah. Mark 6:46. Mark 6:46. Let's read it now. It says here. It says, "And when He sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray." So Jesus, 75% of the time, He was praying more than He was teaching. Hallelujah. He was praying. He was praying. Jesus was given to prayer. God, who became a man, was praying. Look at Matthew 17. This is where we close. Matthew 17. So, very vital. Something we need to see that whenever they go to mountain in their world is a culture. they go to mountain to pray. Mountain is used for the supernatural. So when they go to mountain is to pray. The purpose of men going to mountain in their culture in those days was to pray, not today. Today, mountain is where we are gathered. Right? Any place we call a prayer place is called the prayer mountain. Okay, me. Doesn't necessarily mean need to be on top of a rock. Amen. But in their world, they will have to go to a rock that they can pray. It's to show that they've taken themselves out of disturbance, people, family, washing plates, washing clothes, cleaning house. You just leave. When you don't have access to your phone to pray, right? There is no distraction from the normal activities of the world. So that's what, when we go out to pray, we are going to a prayer mountain, not necessarily a mountain, but a place where there will be no disturbance to pray. Amen. That was a prayer mountain is today. But in their world, it was a literal mountain used to represent the supernatural. Hope you know. So they go there to pray. So Jesus now, in Matthew 17, carried two of his disciples to go and pray. About these days, right? In verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as bright as light. So that he went to pray, and then his face was shining. That means prayer changes the prayer. The prayer is the man that prays. So prayer changes the prayer. Amen. He just went to pray and his face was changed. In Exodus chapter 34, the Bible says, Moses was in the mountain for 40 days. He went to meet with God. He was in the mountain for 40 days. Exodus 34, verses 28. He went to the mountain 40 days to meet God. What was he doing with God? He was drinking tea with God? No. He was eating and happy with God? No. What was he doing with God? He was praying. So Moses went to pray 40 days. He went out of the disturbances of the children of Israel. They are complaints. They are murmurs. He went up to the mountain to pray. As he came down from the mountain, the Bible says his face was shining. So that means prayer changes you best. Amen. Prayer changes you first. You may not be praying for that thing. You may not pray God change you. No. Prayer, we're going to see that again next week. Prayer is about God's will first. Amen. But when you are praying out God's will for the earth, what God's will for the earth that men are saved, right? When you are praying out God's will for the earth, you are the first recipient. So prayer is multidimensional. I am praying concerning something. I'm receiving answer for that thing and other answers. That means I'm praying for A and receiving A to Z. However, that prayer is multidimensional. You cannot trap prayer to a thought. It is multidimensional. It means I'm praying for a particular person or a particular location. I'm praying. I discover that maybe I was sick while I was praying. I'm now healed. You see that? It changes me. Maybe there's someone at home who's not feeling fine. It doesn't get me because I was praying for something. I wasn't necessarily praying for that thing. But prayer changes me. It changes the man that prays and changes everything around the man that prays. Amen. That is prayer. Prayer is multidimensional. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So prayer. When God uses a man, he calls them to pray. Let's go now. Hallelujah. When God uses a man, he causes them to pray. Sometimes the people we are praying for are people we might not even meet. Look at Jesus. Jesus prayed for us. We want to see that message. Jesus prayed in John 17 for us today. And he didn't see us physically. He had to pray. Amen. So that means your prayer can even go into generations. You know, we say God should use us, right? And the men he uses, he causes them to pray. He causes them to pray. Hallelujah. Bring your feet. Let's just pray. What someone say, let's pray. Oh, let's pray.